Good morning. So, as many of you know, that we started a sermon series under the title Characters Around Crucifixion. And so we are studying different characters, those who played a vital role in the time of crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the first Sunday of this series, we talked about Lazarus, Jesus' friend whom Jesus raised from his death, and he became a kind of an instrument for the religious leaders to really go after Jesus. Because before that, Jesus was performing miracles of healing people from their sicknesses, or Jesus was doing different types of ministry. Until then, religious people were not as threatened till the time when Jesus raised Lazarus from his death, and they realized that if we don't do anything at this time, there will be more and more follower of Jesus, and we will be in a big trouble as a religious leaders. And so, again, so we talked about Lazarus. Then we talked about Judas Iscariot, who was one of the disciples of Christ, and eventually he kisses Jesus on his cheek and eventually betrays Jesus. And eventually the religious leaders and the religious police comes and picks up Jesus and eventually brings him to the religious authority. On the last Sunday, we talked about Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was Roman governor, and he was based in Jerusalem at this time. And even though he did not have much idea about Jesus, but he was forced by religious authority at that time, and he was forced to crucify Jesus, or he was forced to condemn Jesus for the crucifixion. But if you see, that character I've chosen are from a different walks of life. They are not all the disciples of Christ. They are not necessarily all bad people. What we want to do is to learn from different characters, different individuals, and what message they have for us as a disciples of Christ. And so today, dear people of God, we are going to talk about Peter, Simon Peter. He was one of the closest disciples of Christ. In fact, he was considered one of the leaders of Christ. Disciples in Jesus' time. And so again, Simon Peter, most likely older than any other disciples. And so he had that reputation, he had that leadership skill. And he was so confident within himself, as Caroline just told us the story, that he was so confident in his ability to follow Christ. But in our reading today, we will notice that just 12 hours ago, he confidently said to Jesus that, "I will never deny you." But in 12 hours, he actually did deny Jesus Christ. And so what happened in these 12 hours? What are some of the things that took place? And as a disciple of Christ, that what things we supposed to be careful about? And we will learn that from the life of Peter. Now, you know, it is not only the experience of Peter that he denied Christ. We all have that tendency. I have denied Christ in my life many a times. Maybe not through my words, but through my action. I know what is right. I know what God hates. And I still do it. And sometimes I do it without thinking. But sometimes I've done it with knowledge. And so it's not the Peter to be blamed. It's not only Peter who did something wrong. Dear people of God, there's a lesson for all of us to learn this morning. Amen? Amen. And so as Barbara is coming and reading the scripture for us, let us be attentive, please.
The scripture this morning is from Luke 22, 54 to 62 and John 21, 15 to 17. Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times." And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
So what happened to Peter? 12 hours ago, he was ready to fight for Christ. He was so confident in his walk with Christ. And in 12 hours, he denied Christ. And that happened to Peter. And dear people of God, it can happen to us. So the first thing I want you to realize, number one, overconfidence. Overconfidence. Then Jesus told to Peter that, "Peter, you are going to deny me today." Peter said, "There is no way, Jesus. I can even die with you. I know how strong I am. I know that I am so strong and I am so confident in my ability that I'm not going to deny you." Overconfidence. Dear people of God, the reason we are disciples of Christ, the reason you and I are here at this church this morning is not because we are better than anybody else. It's not that we are so strong in our spiritual walk with God that we put ourselves into this place this morning. It is God's grace, dear people of God, that God has invited us in this place. Amen. Our walk with God is because of God's confidence in us and not our own confidence in ourselves. Because the time when we start to think about ourselves better than anybody else, when we start to think that I am more disciplined, I am more spiritual, I am more prayerful than anybody else, that's the beginning of our fall. Let us be careful in what we think and how we think about ourselves. The second one, lack of prayer. The scripture tells us here in Luke chapter 22, and I want to read a few verses. When he rose up for prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not be tempted." Disciples of Christ, when Jesus is going through one of the difficult time in his life, one of the hardest time in his life, and his disciples are with him in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus is going a little bit further away for prayer, and when he is praying, he's asking his disciples, "You also pray with me. You also stay with me because I'm having a hard time. I'm going through a difficult challenges." But when he comes back, he realized that his disciples are sleeping, including Peter. So the second thing we notice here, not only overconfidence, but lack of prayer in his personal life. You know, one of the challenges for me as a disciple of Christ is challenge of prayer in my personal life. My personality doesn't allow me to be calm and collective for more than 3 seconds. You know, some of you can sit down and pray. Some of you can sit down and meditate for hours. But my personality, like as soon as I start praying and thinking, something pops up into my mind. And then I go into that daydreaming. And then I bring myself back. And then again, I pray for a few minutes. And then something else comes to my mind and I go there. What I'm trying to tell you, dear people of God, that prayer is a hard thing for many of us. It doesn't suit so much with our personality. And that's why the good news for all of us is that on Wednesday morning, 6:30, we have a prayer group meeting at the church. Do you know that? How many of you know that? Please raise your hand if you know that. And many of us go there, like we have around 6 to 8 people every Wednesday morning. We come together for prayer, and basically what it tells to us that Rajiv, on my own, I cannot pray. But when I'm with other people, then I can not daydream because Carl is there to keep me on track. But again, lack of prayer can take us away from following Christ. The third thing I notice here is that Peter is still walking behind Christ, but the distance is growing. Here he says, and they seized him, and as they laid him away and took him into the house of the high priest, Peter followed him at a distance. Peter is still following Jesus, but the distance is growing a little bit more and more. Because of overconfidence, because of lack of prayer, and because of lack of enthusiasm, the distance is growing. He's still disciple, he's still following, but the distance is growing. The question I have for us, dear people of God, this morning, are you walking close to Christ? Or is your walk behind Christ, the distance is growing between you and Christ? Because we are asked, we are encouraged to walk with Christ. We are encouraged to hold Jesus' hand as we walk. Further away we go from Christ, further away we go from following Christ, we are putting ourselves in a greater danger. You know, I told a few times story of Eva and Sonia, and they are not here, so I can tell you the story. And Sophia, don't tell them. So, you know, growing up, Eva and Sonia, they had a different way to connect with me. So I remember when we used to go to mall, every time, you know, Eva wants to go a little bit further away from me, but she would, like, every few seconds, she would look back and she would gaze at how far she has gone from me. And kind of as long as she can see me, she doesn't want to go, like she want to keep sure that if something goes wrong, I can run to my dad as soon as possible. And so she would be a little bit further away, but she would be not so far away that I cannot see her. Sonia, on the other hand, was a different person, different character. And Sonia would just walk on her own. She would just take off and she would not care where I am. And it was like my responsibility to find Sonia all the time. And once in a while, dear people of God, we are like Sonia or Eva. Some of us are like Eva, that we might go a little bit further away from Christ, but our eyes is still on Jesus. That we, as soon as we have to run to God, we can easily run to God. But then once in a while, we're like Sonia. That we are in our own world, we are living our own life, we are living our own, we are doing our own things, and we go so far away from God and we don't even realize that we've gone so far that when I look back, I cannot see God so easily. As their dad, I'm always there waiting for them. But once in a while, Sonia would go so far. And that's what is happening here between Jesus and Peter. The distance is growing. Hanging out with the wrong crowd. See, there were people who came to take Jesus as a captive. Those who came to take Jesus as a prisoner. And those people are eventually going to persecute Jesus. And so that's the wrong crowd. And as Peter is keeping distance now, he's actually hanging out with this crowd in the middle of the night. Hanging out with wrong crowd. And when you and I are hanging out with wrong crowd, it is so easy for us to fall into temptation. You know, I have many Facebook friends, and I see some of their feed on the Facebook, and I noticed there were two of my friends, they were going through difficult journey in their personal and their family life. Both of these friends experienced betrayal and unfaithfulness in their marriages. One particular friend, when I saw that friend's feed, you know, this sentiment was expressed, and there were so many other people jumped into this conversation, basically telling that person that if I would have experienced anything like this, the first thing I would do is divorce the partner. I don't want to live with this partner anymore because I have experienced this kind of experience and I cannot trust this partner anymore. And so that person received one type of encouragement. And there was another person experienced very similar situation, but then the other crowd gave different type of expression, different type of encouragement. Other crowd said, you know what? We are so sorry for the experience you're having, and we will pray with you, we will support you in your journey, but, you know, stay together, hold on to, support one another, something good will come out of it. And so, of course, this person eventually divorced and have gone through very difficult, lonely experience in that person's life. This person, they have gone through challenges in their life, but like after a few years, they have restored, their relationship is restored and they are doing good. Similar experiences, different crowds, different experiences and different advices from people. And I'm not saying which one is good or bad. It's your call. You have to make your choices for yourself. What I'm trying to tell you that depending upon the crowd we surround ourselves, dear people of God, there's a possibility that what kind of life we're going to live. Peter here, he is hanging out with people who have gone after Jesus to kill him and to destroy him. Peter is hanging out with them. Now, I'm not saying that as a Christian, we cannot hang out with other people. In fact, Jesus was known to be friends of sinners. He was always hanging out with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. And those were his friends. Those were his confidants. Those were his connections. In order to make difference in people's lives, we have to be with them. Amen? You and I cannot make a difference without being with them. But at the same time, we also have to realize that God has called us to be disciples of Christ. And we need one another support in our journey to be disciples of Christ. And there will come a time in our lives when we will need advice, when we will need wisdom from other people. And the question, dear people, for us this morning is like, whose advice are we going to gather? Whose advice are we going to follow? What kind of support are we going to gather for ourselves? Peter, hanging out with wrong crowd, was so easy for him to fall into temptation and deny Christ. I think things would have been different if he would have been hanging out with other disciples at this time. Now, we could be very harsh to Peter. But let me tell you, all information we have about Peter was given by Peter himself to John Mark, the first gospel writer, the Gospel of Mark. In other words, he is telling us this, all dear people of God, so that we may learn from his mistakes and we may grow as a disciples of Christ. It is possible for us that we might become overconfident in our walk with God. It is possible for us that we might have a lack of prayer in our personal life. It is possible that we might follow Christ, but from a distance. It is possible for us that we might hang out with the wrong crowd. And it is possible that within 12 hours, we might deny Christ. Maybe here we say, Jesus, I'm your disciple. I'm going to sing your songs, and maybe come Monday morning, 9 o'clock, we might have some different story. And the question for us is, what would Jesus do? How Jesus would respond to us? And of course, as we read in the scripture, that after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus reaches out to all his disciples, including Peter. And at one point, he has a personal conversation with Peter. He takes Jesus away for a walk, and he asks Jesus that, Peter, do you still love me? And he says, yes, Jesus, I love you. Peter, do you still love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Peter, are you sure you love me? Because you denied me 3 times, and I'm going to give you 3 chances for you to deny your denial to be connected with me again. I want to restore my relationship with you, Peter. Do you still love me? And says, yes, Jesus, I love you. And says, Peter, you were and you are the foundation of the church. I will give you a lot of responsibility now. Acts of the Apostle. He's one of the greatest leader of the church. Doesn't matter, dear people of God, that how many times we might have denied Christ through our words and through our actions and through our behaviors. Jesus always comes after us and gives us opportunity that, Rajiv, do you still love me? I know you did that. I understand that. I've seen that. I've experienced that denial of yours. But that is not end of our relationship. I want to give you an opportunity so that our relationship could be restored once again. And so, dear people of God, that is a God's invitation for all of us. All those 3 parables Jesus said in his sermon, you know, the parable of lost coin, the parable of lost sheep, and the parable of lost son. It is all about the restoration of somebody who has fallen into sin, somebody who has denied Christ, but then Christ constantly invites that person to be in a relationship. And so this morning, if you're thinking that you're the one who denied Christ in your life, it's not an end in itself. Amen? But God is inviting us. And so as we close our eyes, I'm going to invite Carl to read something for us. So close our eyes and let us listen carefully.
A mob came to put my Lord to death. I was afraid. I ran, but I didn't go far. I'd sworn I would follow Jesus, follow him into death if need be. My words came back to haunt me. I was ashamed, am ashamed. I followed the crowd from a distance, hanging back like a cringing dog just out of sight. They took him into the home of high priest. I crept into the courtyard. A fire was lit by the guards who'd taken Jesus. I went over to warm myself. It didn't do any good. I was chilled in my soul, and no heat would warm it. From above in the high priest's public chamber, I could hear the council squabbling over Jesus. Strange accusations were being made by witnesses. They were so eager to condemn him that their testimonies never agreed. But they went on ignoring the discrepancies, listening to those hateful shouts, maybe fear for my own life instead of Jesus. In spite of myself, I kept thinking that if the council could believe such lies against the Messiah, it would be nothing for them to accuse me too. While the priest rejected Jesus as a blasphemer inside, I abandoned him to the crowd outside. There I was, surrounded by strangers. They knew each other well, and it was soon clear they thought they knew me too. I was recognized 3 times by people in the crowd as a follower of Jesus, and 3 times I denied any knowledge of him. In my fear, I swore and cursed, desperately trying to separate myself from Jesus with every breath, every word. Jesus had predicted this. He was right. By dawn, I had denied him. I had separated myself from him completely. I ran from the courtyard, just far enough to be out of sight of the hostile crowd, and out of earshot of Jesus' accusers. Their shrill curses echoed down the streets and alleys after me, yet each step seemed to put miles between Jesus and me. I've been his faithful servant. I've recognized him as the Messiah. I've been closer to him than anyone I've ever known. I've loved him as fiercely as any man can love another. Now in one night, he's been torn from me, stolen from me by the council and by my own fearful words in the courtyard. He lives, but I can't get near him. I can't help him. I can't even acknowledge him. Oh, why couldn't I have gone with him? Surely, suffering with him would have been better than losing him this way. Oh, Lord, why have I forsaken you?
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much. You constantly invite us into your presence, even though you know the fact that we have denied you many a times in our lives. You invite us to have a restored relationship with you so that our denial of you would not be the last thing happen in our relationship. Lord, help us to come back to you and not give up on our relationship with you like Judas Iscariot, but like Peter, knowing the fact that we have denied you, knowing the fact that we have done wrong to you, but at the same time, knowing the fact that you are a loving, gracious, wonderful friend who would accept anyone who's willing to come and restore the relationship. Help us. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.